Chapter 13. Nori and Elliot practiced that afternoon at Nori's house. Aunt Margot gave them cinnamon toast for a snack, but she wasn't happy about their plan to get out of UDM. "Oh, please," she said, sinking into a chair at the kitchen table after they explained it all to her. "Just be who you are, not who you think you should be." Nori hated the expression on her aunt's face, but it didn't change her mind. "We'll be outside practicing," she said. "Come on, Elliot, you can bring your toast with you." Aunt Margot's yard was full of vegetable plants and flowers. There was a line of laundry hanging out to dry in the September sun, and a small metal table with some chairs. Nori and Elliot ate and talked. "Once we get switched to the regular classes, we'll get trained in all the regular things," Nori explained. "Did you know they don't have to do headstands or interpretive dance or group trust exercises?" She told Elliot what she'd seen when she peeked into other classrooms, about the flares, marshmallow lessons, and the early bird flyers in the circle, and the fluxers working on colored kittens.
"So they were working on actual skills?" he asked. "Practical skills?"
"And we will too," Nori said, "as soon as we get out of UDM.
"How do those other teachers teach magic?" asked Elliot. "If they don't do headstands and all that."
"They teach magic like Ms. Star teaches math. They explain how it's done, and then the students practice doing it."
She slipped a hairband off her wrist and pulled her hair into a ponytail.
"My father always said that good magic is like a well-trained house pet. Nobody likes a dog that barks all the time, or a cat that scratches the furniture, right?"
"I guess not."
"So people train their dogs and cats not to do that. That's how it's supposed to be with magic, too."
"Magic is like a house pet?"
"Father says you have to discipline it. The key to strong magic is to never get emotional. Stay in control, like a dog trainer."
"Yeah, but Ms. Star wants us to feel our feelings," Elliot pointed out. "And she wants us to understand our magic, not control it."
"I know," Nori said, "but I don't think she's right. Father says magic is supposed to be kept in a crate, just like you do with a puppy you want to train. And when you let the puppy out, you keep it on a leash, right?"
"Yeah," Elliot said.
"But I don't think Ms. Star believes in crates or leashes," Nori said. "And that's a problem."
"If magic is a puppy," said Elliot slowly, "Ms. Star wants us to love the puppy instead of being its master."
"Yes," said Nori. "She wants us to understand the puppy and connect with the puppy, so we don't need a crate or a leash."
"But that won't work for our magic," Elliot pointed out. "If you and I want to be normal, we have to think like your father and control it, don't we?"
He furrowed his brow.
"I have to squash down the freeze power and only do flare."
"And I have to squash down the different animals," said Nori, "and just do regular ones."
"Yeah."
For a moment, they were silent. Nori pulled a pencil out of her backpack.
"Okay, so let's think about control. Say you want to light this pencil on fire without freezing it afterward. How can you turn off your freezing and only do fire? Can you banish the freezing part of yourself?"
"Maybe."
"What if you told the freezing part that it's a bad puppy? Tell it that it's a bad, bad puppy, and if it comes out of its crate, it'll get in big trouble. Try."
Elliot took a breath. He stared hard at the pencil. It flared briefly, then went out.
"It didn't freeze," yelled Nori. "It didn't freeze."
"But it went out," said Elliot glumly. "I need it to stay lit."
"It's progress," exclaimed Nori. "The bad puppy idea worked."
"Okay, your turn."
Nori worked on Black Kitten.
"Kitten, kitten, only kitten," she thought. "No beaver, no dragon, no anything. That part of my magic is like a bad puppy, a very naughty puppy that has to stay in its crate."
Her vision blurred, and there she was. A kitten. A lovely kitten. Perfectly shaped until... Oh, drat. Nori felt her body change. Her head grew big. Her tail grew thick. She had her kitten body, but she had the head and tail of... a goat. A small goat, but definitely a goat. She was a coat.
Nori! Elliot shouted. Change back! Start over!
I really should, girl Nori thought. I should change back and start over and...
But ooh, first I will just eat those vegetable plants, Coat Nori interrupted. Yes, yum yum tomato plants, yum yum squash plant.
And what's that?
Laundry on the clothesline? Yum yum socks!
Coat Nori didn't understand socks, but she was happy to fill her coat tummy with them.
Nori, stop! Can you even hear me? Elliot was yelling. Delicious socks. I wonder if there are shoes around, Coat Nori thought. Ooh, look, flowers. Those might be good to eat, too.
She opened her mouth to eat some flowers, only to see them freeze, solid.
Ugh, cold.
The shock of the frozen flower in her mouth made her turn back into girl Nori.
Oh, Elliot, she wailed. Why can't I do it? Why can't I get something right just once?
You're not the only one who messed up, Elliot said. I meant to freeze a single flower just to make you stop. But look, I froze them all. As soon as I got scared, I lost control and ruined everything.
Nori looked at Margot's flowers, or what used to be her flowers. They were all flower-shaped icicles now. And the vegetables were eaten. And the socks? Nori sighed.
We need a lot more practice, she said.
And your aunt, Elliot noted glumly, needs new rose bushes.